Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and in that name we come, and we come boldly to this throne of grace this morning. And Lord God, how we need you. And Lord, again, quicken us. Lord, strengthen us, God. Give us ears to hear. Open our hearts to receive it. Lord, get our attention this morning. Lord God, help us not to be looking at a clock, thinking about lunch. God, you've set a buffet for us this morning, and we've been a feasting. Lord, thank you that you brought us into the house of the Lord. God, let us sit here, Lord, and not be entertained, but let us feast upon the everlasting. Lord, you think of what we're distracted with and what gets our attention, what we go after and what we give so much time to. Nothing. Things that don't matter. Things that just, again, entertain us to get us to be numb to the only thing that's going to matter. The only thing that does matter. And that's the word of your grace. Lord, you're so wonderful. You're so loving. You're so tender. And Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, even when we believe not, you abide faithful. Lord, for these next minutes, may we rejoice. May you again just saturate our hearts with your love. Lord, again, change us as we go out of here. More like you. More love in families. More love in children. More faith. More hope. And God, let us know it came from one thing. The Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. Never get away from it. Lord, help us to just run into it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles today. We'll be going to John 18 to begin. We'll also be over there in Colossians for a bit. 1 Peter, and then, God willing, we'll end back in John. And who knows, we might be up in glory by then too. So let's just expect from him and believe him. But last week, and don't worry about if you weren't here, it's about today that matters. But I'll give you a little bit of a recap. We rejoiced, can you imagine? And we rejoiced, hallelujah, in the thought of where he took us, where he took my life to take me. And we specifically spoke on the thorns of life. That, as we know, the Word of God says, in his faithfulness, he afflicts us. We spoke about the places, brothers and sisters, we would not go on our own. We spoke about the events that we would rather not face. But God, but God, but God, but God. And God has a perfect plan for every one of his sons. And he divinely takes us to the heights of glory. And where we found those heights of glory is when we know that we are weak and we know that he is strong. Praise God. But today, this resurrection day, the Lord is going to continue us on this journey. And where love took Jesus to take you. Amen. It's a total journey of love. And where love took Jesus to take you. And here in John 18, thinking of this again, the death, the resurrection, and my goodness, I got to get to the ascension too. But thinking of all of that here in the 18th chapter, we kind of begin that monumental journey where love took our Lord. And in the 18th chapter of John, we find the Lord in this garden called Gethsemane. And there he is, he's praying. He's with his disciples and he's praying. And he's asking God for strength. And he continues to pray on. And it says that he prayed great sweat drops of blood. And I pray you know that he was praying for you. Praying for me. But God, in his love, took him there to that garden to meet Judas, to meet those soldiers. As it says in verse 12 of chapter 18, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. See, it was love, brothers and sisters, love, that sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. It was love, praise God, that bound him. It was love, praise God, that gave him as the full debt and ransom. And know that, the full debt, the debt has been paid. We are rejoicing today that it is finished. Praise be to God. And that love that paid that ransom was to take us to the place where we would be made free. The journey continued on in chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. It says there, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers platted a crown of thorns on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands." See, it wasn't man that brought Jesus to this place to be crowned with thorns. It was love that brought Jesus there. It was love for you, praise God, that placed that crown of thorns on his head so that he would take us to be to the place where we would be crowned with glory. It was love that took him not only to be condemned by man, but to be condemned by sin, to take you to the place of knowing Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Brothers and sisters, again, whom he has made free is free indeed. Hallelujah. See, love took him to be nailed upon that cross. You have to remember, we're studying John. This is the one whom by all things consist, all things hold together. And he held the wood together. He held the nails together that were put into his hands and into his feet. But it was love that nailed him to that cross to take me to the place where there is no law, there is no sin. Do you know that for your life as a Christian? Praise be to God that he nailed the law to the cross for you. He met all of that debt. Praise be to God. Colossians 2:14 tells us. Colossians 2:14, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." Know that, brothers and sisters. The knowledge of the law, praise God, brought sin and death. It brought that death. To know that, brothers and sisters, that's what it brought to full acknowledgement and realization. "But he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Praise God, and notice his cross. Hallelujah. The cross that made me free. See, brothers and sisters, love took him to the place where his father turned from him. Love took him to the place where he was completely and utterly alone, to take you to the promise that you will never be alone. Oh, yes. Lord, let it hit it. Let it hit us hard. Hallelujah. Love took the only begotten Son to the place where he would be separated from God, where he would be separated from his love, to take us to the place, brothers and sisters, that we know in Romans 8, nothing shall separate you from the love of God. No height, nor depth, nor any creature, even you, shall separate you from the love of God. Mark 15:34 says that he was taken to the place of completely forsaken as he cried to the Father, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Well, love took him there so love could take us to the place, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Do you see where love took your Lord to take you? Amen. The love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Praise God. He came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Praise be to God. Love made him sin for us to free us forever from it. He became the worm to bring us sons to glory. Oh, yes. See, brothers and sisters, he bore the stripe of death so that he that believeth in me shall never die. Oh, what love did at this time. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, even though this is beyond wonderful, love was just getting started. It was just getting started. Hallelujah. See, Jesus didn't stay in that grave. Oh, no, he didn't. They came to find him and they said, you know what? He ain't here. He's not here. He is risen. Oh, yes. See, love is what took him from that grave. Love, all the power of heaven, raised him, praise God, from the dead. Turn over with me to 1 Peter, and you'll read, hallelujah, what he was raised for to take us to. In 1 Peter 3 through 5, chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." Boy, I tell you what, in that fourth verse, it's just too much. See, because he knows we don't believe really good. We're slow to believe. So I'm going to make sure you understand this about the resurrection of my son for you that believe. This is what it gave you. An inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, and that fades not away. And by the way, it's reserved in heaven for you. Not just for a group or a bunch, but for you. Amen. And know this love. Hallelujah. Who are kept by the power of God. How? Through faith. Not by your dirty works. Not by what you think, oh, I'm such a good guy. It's because of what his son finished. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You talk about ready. He wants us to be ready, but I'll tell you what, he's ready. He's ready to reveal it, praise God, in the last time. See, love took him to heaven, brothers and sisters. And love took him to heaven to give me a lively hope. I'm getting this lively hope. We're talking about a much more powerful faith to believe my inheritance is waiting for me. See, as he told Thomas, he said, you know, Thomas, you believe because you saw the holes in my hands and the holes in my feet. But blessed is he that believeth in me and doesn't see me. Amen. So you see what this lively hope is doing for us that believe. You know them crazy ones that just believe enough that Jesus is coming again for me. What is your hope today? Huh? Well, there might be some just hoping to get to lunch. But it's Easter. We got a big crowd. We might be here for hours. Let that scare you. But what are you hoping for today? You think about this. Hoping for a better job. Hoping for a better future. Hoping for this and hope. How about hope for what is real? How about hope for what is yours? How about abounding in hope, brothers and sisters, that isn't the hope of man if it's going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. Jesus' hope, praise God, that he has given us, is always a win. The Lamb is coming. That wasn't an if. He came. There was just a handful that was looking for him then. But I'll tell you what, they sure were a happy little bunch, weren't they? As that brother said, oh, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But see, I don't have to wait for that, my eyes to see my salvation. Matter of fact, in Jesus' name, mine eyes have seen my salvation. Oh, yes, seen it right in here. Hallelujah. And just like he told them, he said, you know what? I'm going to rise again. But you know what? Them slow to believe ones, you know what happened? It took them a long time to get happy. Well, he's not here. Well, what happened? Somebody must have stole him away. Something must have... What happened here? See, they weren't rejoicing in the truth of what he told them was going to happen. I'm going to rise again. I'm coming. I'm coming back. Hallelujah. And he did. And they rejoiced, but it took them a little while to rejoice, huh? Oh, yes. Well, you know what he said? He said, I'm coming again. Oh, yes. And he said, them that looking for me. See, there's some that believe he'll come again and all that, but there's a difference between believing he's going to come again and looking for him. Looking is a state of awareness. It's a state of anticipation. And it ain't no diligence thing. Because even those, as we've seen, that have been on watch, they sometimes fall asleep, don't they? But you know the one that never falls asleep? Is that bride that's waiting for her husband to come. I know a little lady here that understands that story pretty well. But it was a Jewish custom, and it's too bad they probably don't have it anymore. They've got these Tempur-Pedic beds, and they go to sleep now. But but what happened was, and it was custom, the groom would come and get that bride any time of the night. Any time. Now, she knew that the time was coming, so she knew that, and it was anticipating that he was coming to get her. But the thing was, is she had to be ready. And those brides, can you imagine? They even went to bed with their clothes on. They were ready to go. See, the Shulamite, when he knocked at the door and said, I'm ready to get you now, honey. She said, well, wait a second. I've got to fix myself up. But by the time she got to the door, he was gone. Jesus is coming again in like manner. And he's going to meet a bride that is looking and loving and awaiting his appearing. And he's going to meet her in the air. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. See, brothers and sisters, that's the hope. And that's called abounding hope. You might sit here today and say, well, you know, that sounds so good, but how do I get that abounding hope? Well, see, it was just, matter of fact, amazing that it's this same love journey where love took him to take me. And see, as this story goes on, see, love took him over in John 16:7, it says that love took him to heaven. So he could send to me, hallelujah, the abounding hope of the Holy Ghost. Here's how Jesus said it. I tell you the truth. Isn't that wonderful? He does tell us the truth. It is expedient, necessary, beyond for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter or the Holy Ghost will not come unto you. But if I depart, if I ascend to the right hand of my Father, I will send him unto you. And you know what? He did. And love took him to the right hand of God to send me all truth and have the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. See, love did take him to the right hand of God. And you know what? Love has him waiting there for one thing. Do you know that Jesus is waiting for one thing? He's waiting for his wife. And he is. He's waiting for his wife to share the throne with him. He's not taking the reins from his Father till she is with him. He will not be glorified as God in the throne until she is there to be glorified together with him. Where love took him to take me. And that's where love has him waiting right now. Waiting, brothers and sisters, to call her home. Waiting to meet his bride in the air. He is waiting to call out, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, yeah. There was a lot in this love story. And there's so much in this love story that's going on. So as we close with all of that, with all of this fervent witness of His love, the one who became sin, who knew no sin for you, the one who is separated from the presence of God so that you would never be separated from His love, the one who took the stripe of death so that he that believeth in me shall never die, the one, praise God, that was willing to ascend to the right hand of the Father, that lowly Lamb, to send to you the Holy Ghost to be led into all truth, to send to you the Holy Ghost to have love that would just be gushing forth from your heart, to send to you the Holy Ghost that could cause you to believe, yea, the deep things of God. Oh, why of all that fervent witness of love? Well, in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, seeing we have also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I'll tell you what, all them verses and all that love that he poured forth to you, let me tell you something. That's a cloud of witnesses right there. Oh, yes, it is. Let us lay aside every weight. See, with that love wherewith ye are loved, I'll tell you what, let it go. As you sit here today, let it go. Quit being fearful. Quit being unwilling to make the move. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. Quit trying to direct your own steps. Quit allowing the enemy to having you move in fear and move into the things of God. Oh, but if I do that, I'm going to upset my family. I'm going to upset my kids. I'm going to upset my spouse. I'm going to upset me. Well, get upset. Praise God. It said Jesus came and he turned the world upside down. He turned it all around. Hallelujah. And praise be to God. Let me tell you something. You need to be turned around. Because if you're not following after truth in your life, you're turned around. You're either for me or you're against me. You're either drawing towards the grace and spirit or you're going after this world and its works. You're either building gold, silver, and precious stone or it's wood, hay, and stubble. And by the grace of God, the only thing that's going to survive is that word of His grace that's built in your life. Brothers and sisters, he said, you're encompassed with such a great cloud of witness. Listen to this. Let it be personal to you, honey. Lay aside every weight. The sin. That's just the unbelief that so easily besets us. And let us run. Run. Huh? Oh, I've talked to so many. Oh, brother, I just feel like I'm just plodding along, dragging. Let him quicken your steps. Amen. I'm running for glory. How about you, huh? Oh, yeah. He said, you know what? Lay aside that weight, that sin, that unbelief which so easily besets us. Let us run with patience. And it is patience. Oh, yeah. You know what the patience is? Calling those things which be not as though they were. That's your entire life, brothers and sisters. It's faith. He promised it, and it's yea and amen. It's impossible for him to lie. As Jesus said, come on, brothers, I tell you the truth. Isn't that something that he even had to say, that I tell you the truth? I am the truth, but you're still not getting it. I'm telling you the truth. This is the whole plan of God. This is for you. Will you please listen? And that same Jesus is really, he's not begging you, but he is pleading with you. Because it's about to wrap up. Will you believe me? Will you listen? Don't cherish those weights that are causing you to not run. Lay them aside. Set them aside. And I'll tell you what, those that matter in your life, they'll be thankful that you did. Did you hear me? Those that really matter and really love you in your life, they'll be thankful that you did. Oh, you might have familiar ones that might be hurt for your steps in the things of God. But if you really love somebody, you'll give them the truth. If you really love somebody, you'll take the truth. And you'll go in the way of the truth. As Jesus said, if you love mother, sister, daughter, brother, if you love anything before me, you're not worthy to come after me. You're not worthy to really take up that cross and run. But see, brothers and sisters, he's not trying to get you not to love your family. He wants you to love your family. And how you really love your family is you love the truth. You embrace the truth. You go after truth. And he'll do it. He'll work it effectually in them that believe. He'll show you how powerful, hallelujah, the Word of God is. And he said, you run on, honey, and you run in patience. You run that race that is set before you. You look unto me, unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, and here we go, this will sum it up, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down right now at the right hand of the throne of God. And I'll say this, waiting for you. Waiting for you. That's how personal this is. He is set down at the right hand of God right now, just waiting for you. And I pray that you know this as you go from here today, and know it even more so. You are the joy that was set before him. You are the joy that was set before him. He saw you. Hallelujah. That's what caused him to endure the cross. That's what caused him not to in duty go, but willingly and joyfully and thankfully. Jesus. Oh, yes. It said his visage, his skin, his face, it was marred more than any man's. Anybody. He was just a piece of meat. But beneath all of that flesh, beneath all of that blood, beneath all of that sweat, beneath all of that hair that was pulled and torn, beneath all those thorns that were stuck into his skull, see the smile. All the way he was smiling. Oh, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing this for you. The joy that was set before him. It couldn't be anything. Hallelujah. But because God so loved the world, that son, I'm giving them you. I'm giving them you. Oh, Jesus. Yes. Oh, yes.
You have not yet resisted unto blood.
Yes.
Striving against sin.
Glory.
And whom I love, I instruct, I correct, I chasten. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you.
Oh, glory. While every head is bowed, the perfection of the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, and I want everyone to know that's where the Spirit was bringing me, right to that same verse. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, it's so good. Lord, we thank you again for what you have done and what you have finished. Lord, help us to rejoice this morning. Sure, we sorrow and we thank you for your sufferings. And yes, there's tears. But thank you, Lord, I know that they're my tears of joy. And Lord, as you've called us to suffer together with you because of the joy that you have set before us, and you've promised it. And as you said to those brothers at that time, as you're saying to us, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. You got an inheritance, honey. You got an inheritance that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men, what I have prepared for them that love me. And it's coming. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I went to make the mansion. Hallelujah. Oh, what a mansion it is. And I think, oh, the one that just spoke this universe. He spoke it. He spoke all of this creation. And yet my love had to go away to build something for me? Oh, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. We believe the word of God. And that is the abounding hope to them that do not believe. To them that might be afar off this morning and wondering, my goodness, why is that guy so nutty? Why is he crazy? Oh, because I see the love of God. Oh, and it's such a great love wherewith we are loved. It's a love, praise God, that had him to ascend. And brothers and sisters, to know in Jesus' name, we now are the sons of God. We are seated together with him right now in the heavens in Christ. And Lord, again, as you're ministering to us, you want us to go on in faith and to believe the word of God. And you have said and you have shown to us so sweetly, oh, yes, you're heirs of God, but you're joint heirs with me, with Jesus Christ, if you'll suffer together with me as a wife would suffer with a husband. Lord, thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for that love and the simplicity that it is the grace of God. And Lord, our occupying might be in many different things, but Lord, that is not what defines us. That is just the after effect of the glory of God in our life. May every life here be quickened at this moment. May you truly pierce a heart. Win me. Win me. I want to be your first love. Come boldly. Step out. Come away. Utter those words, by my grace, I will go. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.